Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a podcast on You Are There Sports. This is Rick and Nick talking Class C State Baseball Tournament. And I am happy to be joined. I'm Rick Grammon, by the way, of You Are There Sports, broadcasting Region 8C coverage, Victory League action. Have covered state amateur baseball tournaments for 30-plus years at all around the state of Minnesota. But always exciting time of the year to head back to the communities that are the host sites, and it's always a lot of excitement. And speaking of hosts, my co-host today for Rick and Nick is none other than Mr. Nick Krippner, longtime St. Stephen Steve left-hander, and Nick has had a lot of state tournament experience as a numerous time draftee, and now he gets to lead or help lead his team down to the state tournament for the first time in a long time. Nick, welcome to the show here, and let's introduce yourself and just give us a little bit of your background. Nick Krippner.
Well, Rick, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk some ball with you, some state tournament baseball. As Rick said, my name is Nick Krippner. I've been involved with St. Stephen Steve since 2011. Have basically co-managed, took the back seat. Ben Ullman is our manager, and I've just been helping him out, running, you know, the day-to-day tasks. And we've been one game away from state, probably the fifth or sixth time, and we finally got it done this year in 2021. So the Steves are extremely excited. First time since 2008 when it was in Chaska itself, too. So kind of cool to go full circle there and be able to play in Chaska the last time the Steves were in the state tournament. So
used to be set up where pitchers and catchers would be available to be drafted. And that changed several years ago where pitchers only here. You've had the good fortune that other teams that have qualified thought enough of your talents to bring you along. Talk about your draft history.
Yeah, it started back in 2012. It would have been my second year in the Victory League. I was fortunate enough to get drafted by the Sobieski Skis, and that was when the state tournament was hosted right in our backyard here in St. Cloud.
Sure.
That was at Putz and Faber.
Yep.
Sobieski made a good run there. They made, I believe, Final 8 or Sweet 16, ended up losing a buzzsaw to Maple Lake, and they ended up winning the whole thing.
That was the year that Gendro and Clay hooked up at Putz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And that was my first opportunity of seeing what Tyler Gendro really had, and my next drafted appearance would really show what he had, because the next time I got drafted would have been 2 years later in 14, again by the Sobieski Skis. And again, I was fortunate enough to go on a big run with them when they ended up winning the entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't see any action, really, because Tyler Gendro kind of put the whole tournament on his shoulders.
Hey, you know what? I'm not upset about it at all. Being able to be in the dugout and watch that masterpiece get done, going 6-0, I don't think that record will ever get broken.
Not unless they expand the tournament.
It's one of those things that was just crazy. Yep. We have a current draftee on our team this year, Kyle Peterchek, started two big games for them,
yep,
going deep in both of those games, and Tyler being able to come in on short rest time after time again and getting it done late in the game.
Yeah, matter of fact, we were talking a little bit before back to 14. They played Faribault on the Sunday night, and it rained out in like the second inning. Tyler didn't start that game, but he came back. So they had to push that semifinal game back with Faribault to Monday, Labor Day, finish that one. So Tyler was ready. He figured he had a good night's sleep. So after pitching in relief to win, you know, extra innings against Fergus Falls, he had a night's sleep, came back, took over the reins again, picked up his fifth win going the rest of the way to beat Faribault 2-1, and then they took on New Ulm, working on hours rest. He throws a 2-0 complete game shutout in the championship game on hours rest.
It was something to see, just for him to have to go play, you know, I mean, just Sobieski in general, having to only get two innings in on that Sunday night and then having to come back Monday, Labor Day, to do a 7 more innings and then do a 9 back on top of that and be able to run that gauntlet. And that was the year really of just the rain delays. That opening game, we had a coach bus that brought us down to Jordan Belplaine. We played at Belplaine opening game. There was some rain delays. I remember getting back to the Polish Palace at about 1:30 a.m. on a Sunday, and then not getting really home and going to bed till about 3 a.m. and had work the next day. But what a run that was to be a part of that. And Sobieski being back down in Class C this year, they're back in it again. Yep. So
Let's talk about the Steves a little bit. And your role now goes from a draftee with guys you know but not teammates to being a guy that kind of says, here's how this operates down here. Here's what the state board requires you to do. You know, there are certain little things that, you know, maybe don't even get emphasized during a regular season region tournament that, you know, you can just speak from experience about to this young, because it's a pretty young St. Stephen squad that's going to head down to the state tournament.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some veteran guys. Obviously, myself and Ben Oman and Blake Guggenberger could probably be up in that one as well. We've got the 10 years of experience, but yet we have no 30-year-old on our team yet. So we've got a great depth of high 20s to 18-year-olds. We're putting together a pretty good team here. One of my biggest checkmark items has been for me playing for St. Stephen for this many years is to get the boys there. Because I've got that taste early in my career, and just to see the atmosphere and what the state tournament really is down there, I've always wanted to get the boys there. And for a long time, I didn't know if it was going to happen. Luckily enough, this year, the smile's on the face, and the boys are heading down. So.
Well, I know when you clinched in the Region 8 tournament, you were the first guy out of the Steve's dugout to celebrate.
It's been a lot of years waiting and a lot of tough losses, a lot of 2-0s, 2-1s, 3-1s to go to state and to finally be on that right side of the coin. There was some emotion there. So I was, you were right when I was one of the first ones going out to hug Chris Belling when he won that game for us.
You open up with Princeton in the first round game. Any quick thoughts on the Panthers?
From what I've heard, nothing but positive things. They're going to be a tough team when there's only 48 Class C teams left.
Out of Region 1. Yep,
Region 1. You got Isani in Region 1 as well, but they got the 2 seed out of Region 1. From what I do know, they've got a couple of good arms. They've got a couple of good bats, and they seem to be a wiry bunch. So just expect them to never get down, and they're going to be a grinder, just like any of these teams out of these 48 that are down there.
Region 8 does send four teams, and the champions of Region 8 this year are the Avon Lakers. So they have the opening weekend off as the Region 8 champion, and Avon will play the Sunday of the second weekend, and they get the winner of the Watertown Midway ball game. And then the 2 seed is the Sobieski Skis. 3 seed is the Foley Lumberjacks, and the St. Stephen Steves are the 4. And of that, you know, the 4 teams that went to state last year out of Region 8, there are 3 new faces this year. Avon's the only repeater, as Sobieski comes back down to Class C after spending 2 years in Class B, and Foley gets moved from Region 11 to Region 8. And boy, what a strengthening of a region to bring in 2 teams like Sobieski and Foley.
Yeah, really where that comes from is it just really shows you how deep Region 8 is. For only having one repeating team, Sobieski getting back into the fold, and the amount of years that we've tried to get out of Region 8 to do it this year makes it a little bit more special just with how talented the Region 8 C tournament and those 8 teams that get to go are.
We talk about the depth. There are 3 teams that didn't even make state this year that within the last 2 or 3 years have all played on Labor Day weekend. Nisswa, Buckman, and Fort Ripley.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even going to state this year.
And Nisswa didn't even make the region tournament.
Nisswa
so that's
did
just
not
even,
make regions, yeah.
That's just what...
And I guess we should explain to the folks that aren't as familiar with the Victory League. The Victory League used to do 4 divisions, and 2 teams from each division would qualify for an 8-team region. Well, for several logistical reasons, the Victory League this year realigned for the first year into 2 divisions and played kind of a 1-8 bracket division playoff and the top 4. And so that's why where in years past Nisswa and Fort out of the North Division were almost 99% locked in to be a region competitor, and not the case this year. The realignment kind of really strengthened that division playoff look.
Absolutely. It's one thing that when you look at it, and the whole point of doing that, and I believe the intent of that was to strengthen the league as a whole. And when you really look at it, I can go back to all the way to the end of June, and every game we played at the end of June to where we are now has been a competitive game. It's been against a solid ball club, and it's really, really, you know, I believe improved the quality of play once you get to this time of year when you really need that, because you need to start sharpening that pencil to try to make that run to state.
Nick Krippner, the St. Stephen Steve left-hander, is my guest here on Rick and Nick talking Class E State Tournament Baseball. Talk about some of the teams that we mentioned, the teams from Region 8 that are not coming back, but there are some pretty familiar faces that won't be appearing in Waconia, Chaska, Hamburg this year. Most notably, the defending Class E champions, Fairmont, ruled ineligible, so they are not back to defend. But a Final Four, half the Final Four isn't coming back. Cold Spring did not qualify. The Rockies, Buffalo, who made a nice run last year. We mentioned the Fort Ripley and Buckmans and Nisswas, but Red Wing Aces are a team that has been a pretty frequent visitor. Mora, who was a Region 1 team, and you'll face a Region 1 team in Princeton, very likely you could have seen Mora if things had turned out differently in Region 1.
Yeah, you know, I kind of have those same teams jotted down. I went through a couple of the brackets in the last couple years, and those are really the teams that stuck out to me, too. I actually got drafted by Fort Ripley last year in Milroy, and we drew Buffalo, and Buffalo could really swing the stick.
They pounded the ball, yeah.
They had a really good tournament, so it's I guess it's unfortunate for them to not really get able to get to the dance because of that hitting lineup that they had. Fairmont, obviously you mentioned the ineligibility. The Cold Spring Rockies, you know, really rode that Hennen kid.
Yeah.
He's a stud arm, and they kind of knocked out
Buckman out of our region last year in a great game.
Don't want to throw the, you know, Cinderella story tag on that, but what a run they made. I think they surprised a lot of people getting to that Final Four.
So let's take a look at this this year's 48-team bracket here as the Class C State Tournament actually kicks off on Friday night. But the bulk of the games obviously are Saturday and Sunday at one of the three sites, Waconia, Chaska, or Hamburg. We kind of break this down into quadrants or quarters, however you want to say it. And let's start right at the top, Nick. You look at those four games that will open up the tournament. You've got Sobieski against Windham, Dumont against Richmond, Bird Island will take on Carver, and maybe the one that is really kind of jumping off the page at a lot of people that follow brackets is that opening round matchup between Sartell and Hutchinson. Let's start at the top. Sobieski and Windham. We mentioned Sobieski coming back. A long history. I think they've won 20 games at the state tournament since 2011. So, you know, that's, my math says to me, that's two wins a year. You know, they've won a title. They've been runner-up twice. Obviously, a veteran team there. But Windham, I think they're going to be a tough test for the Skeez, you know, to come out of the chute with. You don't want to overlook anybody.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, you know, Sobieski being drafted by them twice, I know I got a lot of friends on that team. And one thing I noticed from just being on the sidelines and taking it in is that they just know how to get it done when they get down there. They're never down. They're always, you know, up for the challenge. They go down there expecting to win. So I expect them to do the exact same thing they do now that they're back in Class C again. And, you know, they're going to run into a good pitcher with Windham. You know, Windham's got Colin Lovell, Augustana grad, 2017. They had a really good year this year. I just think Sobieski's bats are going to be just a little bit too much, and just the history of knowing how to win games down there is going to get them past that for opening round game.
Everybody loves to see a Region 15 of Stearns County League team. They seem to just pack the stand. They bring boisterous, and, let's just say they help out the local economy when they show up at a state tournament co-host site. And Richmond will play on Saturday in Waconia. They'll take on the Dumont Saints in a first-round game.
Yeah, I don't know much about the Dumont Saints, so I'm not going to really speak on teams I don't really know about. But like I said earlier, when you're one of the last 48 teams in Class C ball, they can all play.
Yep.
They can all play. So you got to go play the game. Nothing's guaranteed, and nothing's just, you know, given to anyone. So you got to go up and you got to play nine innings, and you got to suit up. So with not knowing much about Dumont, I do know a pretty good amount about the Richmond Royals. We had an exhibition game against them this year at home here.
As did Sobieski, a tie.
Yeah. Correct, and we played tight ball. It was 7-6 for our game, if I remember correctly, and Tony Schmitz had two home runs and five RBIs that actually pretty much did the hitting for us that game. But Blaine Ottman's team, I graduated high school with him. He's a Ricori grad, known him for a lot of years. He's put together a really good team. They took a blow with Chase Elshire, their leadoff hitter. He broke his hand, so... he's in a cast currently right now, but you know, him being a ball player and knowing who he is, he was a St. Cloud State guy for a year or two. He said he's going to cut it off and he's going to go try to play. So, you know, you got that. And then another big story with Richmond is going to be the potential of Eli Emerson coming back.
Yeah, what did you find out about that?
So Eli Emerson is coming back from what I've heard, and that is a big pickup for Richmond, you know, with him being in the Northwoods League all year and being a really, really solid anchor for that St. Cloud State starting pitching staff. So being able to have,
you know. Was he with the Rocks?
He was not. He was with a pretty good Northwoods League team.
Because your guy, Jake Shalanka, finished the year with Duluth.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Jake Shalanka. Yep. He did a couple. He did a 10-day, and then it got a little bit extended into playoffs. And Tuesday, actually yesterday, they lost their a game. So he's officially available for us. We'll talk about that later with the team. But that's going to be big to get him back. As far as
Aylshire,
As far as Eli Emerson,
you know,
going to be a big, big arm for them. They've got another arm too. So I just really see, you know, Richmond coming down, like you said, in groves, bringing a ton of fans to the stands. They're going to get behind those guys, and I can see them, you know, making a little bit of a run too. So
the third game in that quadrant then is a Carver Bird Island game, and that's the last game of the day on Saturday at Hamburg. The winner of that one will get Bluffton, a team that Region 8 saw last year knocking out Randall in the second round. And Bluffton is, boy, you talk about Bluffton, you talk about the Dykoffs first and foremost.
100%. The Dykoffs, stud pitcher. Really don't know much about Carver or Bird Island. All I got for Bird Island is I went to college at NDSU and knew a buddy that was from a small town. It's a relatively small town. And so just shout out Kyle C. Husen. Probably not going to listen to this. Doesn't even play baseball, but he did back when he was in high school. Don't know much about Carver as well, but we'll talk about Bluffton because either of those teams that win has to go face a team that has done some damage against some teams that have, you know, from up around here, and it can go back to as far as last year with beating Randall.
Yep.
And then even a couple years back, it was Dykoff against Dominski, and Bluffton was on the right side of that, 1-0. You really got the three Dykoff family members, and then there's a ton of Tellers. So it's one of those teams where it seems like they've got two families that kind of combine, and they can field every position.
Yeah, and in Bluffton, when they do play in the second weekend, they'll be one of the northernmost teams to play. In the Wadena area, you know, the bulk of the teams are, you know, south of central Minnesota, but you do have a few that are scattered up to Ada and like a team from Bluffton that will come down to the state tournament. And then the last one in this half of the bracket is that sparkler, Sartell and Hutch, two teams that are familiar to raising the big trophy.
Absolutely. And, you know, being a Sartell grad myself, I've watched the Muskies for my whole amateur career. And
if you hadn't played for St. Stephen, you would have played for the Muskies?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but if I would have got asked at that time, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
But, you know, once I got out to St. Stephen, it was St. Stephen, orange and black till I die. So, with Sartell, though, huge respect for them. You know, Randy Beckstrom has, you know, really kept that team together, and they've made huge runs in the past 10 years. It just goes down and, you know, again, a year where I think they went 30-1, and, you know, and they ended up losing that big opening round region game to Big Lake 3-0.
And barely squeaked by St. Joe.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe they're playing some tough games right now. So, you know, it's never usually a bad thing to dump one right around that time because it really preps you to just, you know what, let's get back to winning baseball and let's go make a deep run. But, you know, Sartell Muskie lives with their bats and, you know, probably the best pitcher in the last 11 years to really do it in David Dominski.
Yeah, absolutely lights out left-hander, former Twins farmhand, Mr. Dominski out of St. Cloud State. And just that's going to have a huge following. I think a lot of eyes will be on that ball game. Second round opponents and the Sobieski Wyndham winner will get the Isanti Redbirds. And there are some familiar faces to our area on that Isanti team as well. A couple of former Victory Leaguers play now for Isanti.
Absolutely, and just to add a little touch to that, Sartell St. Stephen hosts an Omen Insurance Classic every year, and Isanti has been a longtime staple in that tournament as well, so definitely know those boys pretty well, and the two boys you're mentioning is one is obviously Logan Callis.
Yep.
You know, he's been a longtime Victory League guy, you'll probably know it better than I did, but he started somewhere. Was it St. Matthias?
No, he actually, I believe Logan was a Sobieski ski.
He was, right.
He went to Buckman for 1 year, and then he played college up at Bemidji State, and made the all-decade team for Bemidji State and kind of finished up his Fort Ripley run. And then I think he lives down there closer to Isanti and now plays for the Redbirds.
Yep, and I actually reached out to him because they're in Region 1, and we'd play a Region 1 team. So just reached out to him a little bit. It was nice to get to talk to him again and see how he's doing, and he's loving it down there. They've got a really good team.
And their shortstop, Joe Tucholsky, I think it was off Flensburg.
Flensburg was when I first met him.
Yeah.
Yep. Flensburg was when I first met him. Super nice guy. A lot of fun to be around. Actually reached out to him, too, as well. So with those two Region 8 guys, as well as, you know, they got Phil Bray from that Bemidji State lefty who's just going to be tough, so...
Yeah, a good matchup there for either Sobieski or Windham. Loretto awaits the Richmond Dumont winner, and of course, a lot of focus has been on Corey Koski and Loretto Larks.
Yeah, you know, that's just been kind of the Minnesota, you know, kind of everyone knows that this year, and it's a really cool thing. I mean, I remember
cool
being
story, yeah.
I remember being big Twins fan, you know, 8 to 12 years old, and honestly, you know, you had Torrey Hunter, you had Michael Kadire, and Corey Koski was one of my favorite players. So just to be able to know that, you know, you get some of those major league guys to come back and play Minnesota amateur baseball. You know, for my job, I travel a lot. I'm 60% of the time on a non-COVID year out of the state of Minnesota. And every time I tell anyone that's not from Minnesota that I still play amateur baseball, they're just shocked. Yeah. So it's just really, we've got something really, really special here in Minnesota.
Put to bed the rumors that the Steves are reaching out to Joel Maurer.
Yeah, we can put that one to bed for sure.
All right. So Loretto against the Dumont Richmond winner. Then we talked about Bluffton. They'll play the winner of Bird Island and Carver. And a squad that Wanamingo is a Region 5 champ. They'll get the Sartell Hutchinson winner. And you talk about sometimes being a region champ and that being a tough draw for one of those first-round games. I think a Sartell Hutch winner is a tough draw for a region champ, Wanamingo.
Yeah, sometimes it goes the opposite way, and we've seen that multiple times. With Wanamingo, don't know a ton about them. I saw that they are, you know, they're down by like the Stuartville Racine area, the Rochester area, and just seeing that name, I remember, you know, another longtime Region 8 guy and a Bemidji State guy, Jack Harrigerty. I saw that he got signed by them. He's not signed by Wanamingo, but signed by Stuartville, so it's nice to see that, you know.
Oh, that's another team we did, that the Stuartville Racine Sharks.
Correct. Yeah. That we could probably add that to the list, but, you know, just being able to see Jack Hagerty's back in baseball again, that's a good thing because he was a tough one when he was in Region 8.
Yeah, he was a Region MVP, co-MVP one year, a couple years ago. Let's move on to the next bracket then.
Just one quick thing.
Yep.
There's just that little section is so loaded, we didn't even talk about Hutch. You know, when
go ahead.
Hutch took second.
Apologies, Hutch fans.
Well, it's just that's the marquee matchup when you look at the opening round, in my opinion. You've got two perennial late round guys.
Sorry. It's a heavyweight first round match.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Tough draw is the best way to describe that. But, I mean, Hutch took second in 2019. So, and then they didn't make it in 2020. Now they're back at it. So expect that game to be I might even go down and watch that game Saturday.
Yeah, that's a 1:30 game in Hamburg. All right, now let's move on to the second pod of games. And let's start with another Region 8 team, the Foley Lumberjacks, our 3 seed out of Region 8. And they get the Stark Longhorns out of Region 2, the number 2 seed there. And Foley, I'm probably prejudiced, but I think Foley is going to be one of those teams that people sit up and take notice about. They won a game or two last year. As a matter of fact, they made it to the Sweet 16 before getting beat by Buffalo. But
yeah.
Foley's got arms. They got youth. They've got speed. They got a lot. They got a lot of tools in the shed.
Well, the Steve saw it firsthand. We played them twice in the Region 8C tournament. Opening round matchup, big thriller to cap that that Saturday night off with a 6-4 win. But tough team. Easily, I can't say easily, but that Chmielewski lefty is going to be tough.
Yeah, he's a left-hander, and he just graduated. I mean, he's 18 years old, but he throws hard. He's got great breaking stuff. Just a really, really good pitcher. And then you got another good arm in Drew Beyer, our Region MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Byers put himself together a pretty solid ball club there in Foley, and to have them into Region 8C is honestly really good for our league. It really strengthens when we get down to that state tournament to show really how good 8C is down there. And to, like you said, Drew Beyer, great hitter and just as good as a pitcher too, just a dual threat guy, can do it all, play shortstop for him. And then you also got Luis Massa, who was I believe a JUCO All-American, and we faced him twice, and that guy can swing the stick.
Top out. Yeah,
and then you can even add Tyler Midas to that group. Tyler Midas had almost 2 home runs against us in that second round game when we were doing seeding last Sunday.
And their opponent, the Stark Longhorns, don't know a whole lot about them, but I know I love their logo.
They have a great logo, great name, in my opinion. And they are a perennial team that comes out of that Tomahawk East League, you know. So expect them to, you know, show up and play. They've been there before. They know what they're doing. So.
And they'll get the host. The winner of that game gets the host Waconia Lakers on Waconia's home field in the second round on a Friday night.
And with Waconia, I mean, has been pretty much the top of the Class C rankings all year. They're definitely a favorite. That's a tough draw for Foley, having to potentially run into Waconia right away. So,
second matchup in that quarter of the bracket, you've got the Luxembourg Brewers and St. Benedict, two teams that I think are really going to have big followings for that game. That could be one of the noisier games in the first round.
Hey, you gotta love a game that has the attendance.
Yep.
So, with that, know Luxembourg pretty well. We do an exhibition game with them every year as well. They've got Reed Fannestein, Isaac Machinsky, SCSU grad. They've got Ethan Fruth. They've got a solid lineup. And then I don't know a ton about St. Benedict, but from some of the podcasts that I've listened to already, they're gonna show up into the game, and the fans in the town is gonna rally around those guys. So.
Yep. The winner of that one will get Ada. They come down from the Northwest, and a pretty familiar name, big strikeout pitcher Ethan Opsahl has kind of been the ace of that squad for a number of years up there. But Ada is the Region 10 champion. They'll get the St. Ben Luxembourg winner, and that'll be the Sunday game in Waconia. And then one of the two Milroy teams that make the state tournament this year, Milroy Irish, take on Maple Lake in Hamburg. And that's actually one of the first games of this tournament coming up just a couple of nights, depending on when you're listening to this, Friday night, 7:30 in Hamburg. Maple Lake and the Milroy Irish, and should be a dandy.
Yeah, Milroy, don't know much about them. I looked at the Score Monster roster website, and it sounds like they've got a family of Dolans on that team. I counted eight of them. So, you know, when you can pretty much spot every position out on the diamond, that's a lot of family members.
It's like the 0-1 Watkins team with eight of the nine starters being Geislingers.
Yep. So other than that, don't know much. Milroy Yankees hosted the 2020 state tournament last year. Beautiful country. I mean,
oh, it is.
It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, not to sound rude or anything, but it's out there, and there's some beautiful ballparks out there. And it was a great hosted tournament.
Well, I made a point. You know, we were at Milroy at Yankee Stadium for the tournament, but I just had to see where Milroy Irish Yard was, and it is literally Field of Dreams type of. You take a left at the big cross that's kind of on the side of the road there, a big sculpture, and you go down a gravel road, you come over a rise, and there it is, you know, a video scoreboard in the middle of a corner. It is just I got to get to an actual game. There was one guy out there, a groundskeeper, and he was kind of cleaning up probably end of the season, putting the field to bed type of thing. But what a beautiful gem of a ballpark here. So the Irish will be in action against Maple Lake, and Maple Lake, always a tough team, but one of those veteran teams that we've talked about that have found a way to win ball games, and not just one. They often, if they win one, they're likely to get on a run.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, they won the title in 2012. I mean, that's you know, that's still within 10 years from now. Just shout out Jordan Tanner, Rambo rep. Just did a T-shirt order with him, so he plays on the Maple Lake Lakers. So giving him good luck, and hopefully those boys can make a run. But really, from what I remember with them is, you know, they've got Mitch Worm. That's really kind of –
They won the state high school league title a couple of years ago, and those ace pitchers now are – you know, second, third year in college, and recent history will show you at a state tournament, that is the age where they really come into their own, and they're no longer high school. They're men pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when teams that make deep runs with that young pitching really show up. You know, the Mergens and that type of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mitch Worm has been a big pitcher for them in the past, you know, a grad from SMSU, and then they're going to – winner of that game, you know, runs into a buzzsaw, perennial buzzsaw with Jordan Brewers.
Yep. Jordan not too far removed from a state championship, winning it in Hutch a couple years ago. So that would be a second-round matchup for the Milroy Irish or the Maple Lake Lakers. Let's move on to the third quadrant, and let's start with the Sunday morning game in Waconia between the Kimball Express and the Union Hill Bulldogs. Two teams again. You look at a bracket year in, year out, you're likely to see Kimball and Union Hill somewhere on the line.
Yep, these two making it does not surprise me. Don't know a ton about Union Hill, but again, You know, you listen to some of those podcasts, and they say they're gonna be there in the end. So look for them to make a decent run. Kimball Express, a team that has had success recently, and I just know that they got Jordan Joseph, big SCSU shortstop.
He's back, huh?
He's back. He took. I just talked to his wife a couple weeks ago at the Region 11C tournament, and yeah, she said that he took a couple years off, 2 or 3 years off, and he's back on the team and hasn't really missed a beat. He's been really big for them, batting three.
Yeah, it's Kimball Express in Union Hill. And the winner of that one will get an Alexandria Black Sox team out of Region 16 that has the first round bye. And I think, like the Wanamingo team, region champ earlier, I think Alex looked at the draw and says, Kimball or Union Hill, we'll have to come to play.
Yeah, and I don't know a ton about Alexandria. To me, it just sounds like they might be a recent team, a recent development team, or how long do you think they've been around?
I would say half a dozen years.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I've driven by their ballpark when I've been in Alex a couple of times. It's a really nice little park, and
I checked out their roster, and a guy I used to play a lot of sports with in high school, Colin Erickson's on that team.
Okay.
And even I looked, and I got a little surprised, and I saw Jordan Smith. I'm pretty sure that might be – I'm not sure.
Is the Brainerd Jordan Smith?
I don't think it is, but okay. It kind of made me who is that? I don't think it is, because Jordan Smith was a Wilmer grad, so
it doesn't really make sense,
but it kind of perked my eyes up a little bit. So, I mean, I don't think it is, but big thing for Alexandria, big draft pick that they got from the Sox Center Titans with Dylan Haskamp. Dylan Haskamp did a year at St. Cloud State, got some time as a true freshman pitching for them, throws really, really hard, and now he's at the St. Cloud Technical College. So big pickup for them. Look for Alexandria to, you know,
have their hands full with either one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Midway, the Snurd Birds? They'll take on the Watertown Red Devils. That's a Saturday 4:30 game in Hamburg, with the winner advancing to face Region 8's Avon in the second round.
Yeah, it looks like Midway is always in there, just because. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no just because. They're always good enough. They're a perennial team. And then the Watertown Red Devils have lately, in the last, you know, five-ish years from what I remember, have been making some decent runs.
Yeah, they got a good core, it appears.
Yep, they've got some really good pitching. They even have Zach Eiten. He's another SCSU grad, stud arm from what I remember, but. We also know that they're running into the Region 8C champ in the Avon Lakers, who have, in the last 5 years, made some good runs.
Yep. Avon will sit there for the 11 o'clock game on the second weekend. That'll be in Chaska against the winner of Midway and Watertown. And we mentioned earlier, Avon is the only team from last year's Field of Four out of Region 8 that comes back. And the Lakers, managed by Reed Boyd, they're a really solid team. People are going to be excited to see, I think, Caleb Curry play. He was a D1 baseball player at Iowa, was drafted by the San Francisco Giants, but he's been in the Laker lineup now for six, seven years, I would say.
I'd say right around there.
Yeah, but they've kind of remade their roster a little bit as far as turning the page on some veteran players to young players. And there's some holdovers, like every team has, but there's some exciting young blood here in Avon that people may have seen Avon in years past know what you're getting in Avon. That might not be the case.
No, they got some solid new blood this year. That was kind of one of the rumors going into this year, is what's going to happen with Avon, because I heard they're going to have some starters retire, mm-hmm. and I didn't know exactly where they were going to get some guys, but they turned it over pretty solidly. It shows winning the 8C tournament again. But, St. Stephen Avon's been probably one of the biggest rivalries that we would have. And just to know, somehow they get it done. They're a solid ball club. They get the quality at bats almost all the time. Timely hitting, play great defense. They've always played good defense. And then pitching gets it done.
And they picked up three really good draft picks.
Absolutely.
Travis Wenzel from Randall, who was pitched for Randall, got them to state last year. Randall went 1-1 last year with a thriller in Milroy on opening weekend. Then they also picked up another real veteran, kind of like yourself, Matt Swanson, left-hander out of Uppsala. And the top region draft pick was Bryce Flanagan from Fort Ripley. You know, so Fort Ripley not qualifying this year, that pitching staff and teams came running to pluck those apples off the tree.
Yep, three of the eight draftees are Fort Ripley Rebels, and it makes sense because those guys have had a lot of good runs and have gotten that Fort Ripley Rebel team deep in years past at the state tournament. So look for Avon to do what they do and play good defense, get timely hitting, and potentially make a run.
The next game there is a first-year team in a very new franchise, maybe the newest franchise as far as most recent creation, Eagle Lake. Founded in 2018, they make their first appearance this year. The Expos take on, another one of those teams that really doesn't need a whole lot to say about because everybody has seen them play many times, Cannon Falls. That's the opening round matchup. So it's experience versus youth there, it sounds like.
Really, really neat to see that the early success with a team like that, to be able to be started in 2018 and be able to get to the state tournament. Hopefully they'll be a perennial team that we'll see in years to come here. But as far as the game, again, don't know much about them since they started in 2018. We'll see what they
kind of got.
What I do know
is that Eagle Lake is just east of Mankato. And I was doing a little reading. They won their region they finished runner-up in the region, but they won to qualify for state for the first time. They won 1-0 in extra innings, and a 17-year-old kid from Mankato East hit the walk-off homer in the 10th inning to win that game. So they're very young, and a former Piers outfielder is now living down there. Thomas Funk is on that team. So somebody alerted me to that Thomas plays for Eagle Lake down there.
Very cool.
And that young, all dynasties, if you want to call them, that start somewhere. And we don't know if – are we fortunate now? Are we looking at the beginning of maybe an Eagle Lake franchise that turns into something that 10 years down the road says, oh, here's Eagle Lake again, So good luck to Eagle Lake. One scouting tip for Eagle Lake, if Keith Myers is on the mound, don't lead off. Just stay on the base and hope the guy hits a home run or something because odds are good you're going to get picked off.
Yep.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun one. Now, youth versus experience there.
Yeah.
Eagle Lake, the Expos, and the Cannon Falls Bears. That game is in Chaska on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock to start off the last day of the first weekend. The winner of that one then will get the Laverne Redbirds. And you know some guys on there, and Region 8 has some connections with Laverne.
Yeah, Laverne has been a team that's always been there. Phil Plaquette is really played at SDSU, South Dakota State, with Bo Hanowski.
Bo's the center fielder for Sobieski, yep.
Yep, correct. So they've got some talent down on that Laverne team. So, it doesn't surprise me that they've got that first-round bye. So.
Yep, quality team. Matter of fact, I ran into Phil and Laverne. They played up in Freeport at a tournament 1 year, and I was coming home from doing, a Friday afternoon high school ball game maybe, and, lights are on in Freeport. Swing in, and there's Freeport and Laverne playing. And I had it because Phil – broadcasting high school football back in 07, Piers and Laverne played at the Metrodome in overtime. Laverne beat Piers in that one, and Phil Paquette was on that Laverne team that went to the Prep Bowl that year. So there's a connection there. You never know. That's the beauty of amateur ball, too, connections. I'm married to this guy's first cousin, and talk about, you mentioned last night when we were chatting, a connection back to 14. You were sitting in a dugout. And across the way, was it for Faribault or New Ulm? You knew somebody over in that dugout.
Oh yeah,
very well.
Yeah, we'll get to we'll discuss on that coming up with the next one with the New Ulm Brewers.
Yeah, okay, let's move on to that. New Ulm is in action, and let's see, they have the. Where am I at? They're in a winner's bracket game.
Yep.
They got Delano and Spring Hill, the winner of that one.
Yeah, so we know Spring Hill, Stearns County team, they're gonna pack the stands. I wouldn't expect anything less from a Stearns County League team. Delano, tough team. Don't know much about them, but they've hosted the state tournament multiple times.
Yep.
They always got guys down there that can
they're
play
always
ball.
A team that, looks like this is – they're a sleeper pick for a lot of fans when they fill out their brackets. Everybody's like, oh, watch out for Delano. And sooner or later, they're actually going to fulfill those that optimism.
Yeah, I don't know where they get their arms from, but they have arms on arms on arms. So when you got arms in the state tournament, you always got a chance. With that rounding that Spring Hill game and that Delano game up to go play New Ulm Brewers, going back to 2014 when I was drafted by Sobieski in the state championship game, their leadoff hitter, Aaron Paff, at the time, I was actually staying in his room at St. John's University, and it was kind of pretty cool to, you know, he was down, summer, you know, living with his parents, but I was spending the summer in his college room, and having to be able to play baseball against him on Labor Day was pretty cool. So
pretty cool. So New Ulm gets the winner of Spring Hill. Dellen, we kind of skipped over, or did we? No, we didn't. Laverne gets the Eagle Lake, Cannon Falls, and then Delano, that rounds out that one.
Yeah, and then just
and
one thing.
Bemidji, New Prague wraps up that bracket.
Yeah, and then just one more thing to mention about New Ulm Brewers. Big Judd Davis, St. Cloud State grad, just an absolute stud for St. Cloud State.
He was on that 14 New Ulm team.
Yes, he was. He was a big part of getting them to the state championship game. So, expect New Ulm to just – they've been there. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing, so expect them to, you know, play good ball. And that would bring us into, I believe
– Bemidji, New Prague, the final game there.
Yep. And then with that, I mean, I'll just be dead honest. I think Bemidji State is going to, you know, be in the championship game this year. I think they've just got hitting.
They're monsters. They played a game in Sobieski this summer, and I watched them, and they're all about 6'3", built like oak trees.
Yep, it kind of reminds me of that, like, 2014 Nisswa team.
Yeah.
Where they were all, like, 6'4", and, like, 220 pounds.
And athletic.
Yeah, and then they can play the game, too. Just great, great hitting lineup. Great pitching lineup. You got Brendan Gillies, and you got, you know, obviously Cody Rutledge and those boys up there, perennial guys. I did fill out a bracket, and I've got them in the state championship game. So.
Okay, and well, the other thing is that people will see about Bemidji is they're going to have one of the more unique uniforms you're going to see.
Yeah, they kind of just, I don't know if they brought them out this year, but.
Well, they were wearing them in Sobieski.
Yeah, I don't know if they're brand new, but you're going to see if they whip them out, it's going to be black pants and,
yep,
and black tops with some pins. Stripes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It was an interesting look, to say the sure, but they wear them well, and they certainly perform in them. And the winner gets the other Milroy team, the Milroy Yankees, the champions of Region 4 in that matchup. So that will be a heavyweight matchup. New Prague, they're a couple of years removed from hosting the state tournament down there, but they're a team that they have. Were you on the Sobieski team that got knocked out by New Prague in Green Isle a couple of years back?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
The only thing I know really about New Prague is that they hosted in 2018, and I was drafted by Fort Ripley that year, and wow, did they put some money into that park, and it was a really cool park to play
yeah,
at.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I believe it was Municipal Park or whatever they called it, but great. I mean, I want to even put about $1 million of improvements into that field over the last couple of years before they hosted it. Great site to play at.
And we mentioned the northern teams earlier, like Ada and Bluffton. You can add Bemidji way up there out of Region 10, and Milroy will get the winner of the New Prague and Bemidji matchup. And that leaves us Nick Krippner of the St. Stephen Steves, my co-host here on Rick and Nick Talking Class E State Brackets. The bottom quadrant of games, let's start with another first-timer, the Painesville Pirates and the Austin Greyhounds will meet up, and that's going to be a Sunday 4:30 game, the last game of the day on the opening weekend. That's in Waconia for Painesville and Austin.
Yeah, don't know a ton about Austin, but like I've said four or five times on this podcast so far is that, you know, when you're one of these 48 teams, you know how to play the game. So expect them to come ready to roll. And congratulations to Painesville. Got a little bit of history there for you. Longtime Avon Laker and a little tenure for the St. Stephen Steves. Rick Hendrickson plays on that team.
Yep.
And, he was the one. He came to the Region 8C tournament that final day on Sunday and let us know that was the first time that Painesville's ever made the state tournament. So,
Rick's the boys' basketball coach at Painesville High School.
Yeah, he, I believe, I don't know if he managed or he got involved, but when they started that team, he might not have started the team, but when he went to that team, they were very, very young. And it's good to see, you know, after 3-4 years, I think they got something there. So
they pulled things together there. Yeah.
Look at them to see Prent
and that's
potentially
a good
get back
baseball
to it.
Area. I mean, you talk about Painesville, and the name that comes to my mind is Campson.
Yeah.
It's always a big Painesville baseball name down there. So Painesville and Austin, and the winner of that one will get last year's state runner-up, the St. Patrick Irish, in the second round. That'll be a Saturday morning game in Waconia.
Yeah, I got St. Patrick going relatively deep this year as well. You're beating a dead horse here, but they're one of those teams that are perennially, in the past 7 years that, you know, get to that at least Sweet 16 to a Final 8 or Elite 8 matchup. So,
Yeah, so St. Patrick will get the winner of Austin and Painesville. The next game on tap would be one of those teams that could be, if you want to hang a label on teams, possible Cinderella. How about St. Clair, the Wood Ducks, against another heavyweight, the Young America Cardinals in the opening round. That's a Waconia Friday night game, 7:30.
Yeah, really good to see some new names get in there. And, you know, the Cinderella story team, it's you know, everyone, if it ends up starting to materialize, everyone jumps on that bandwagon because it's so cool to see, you know, a team that, you know, might not have expected to get there, but, you know, just, you know, makes a run, and everyone's just rooting for, you know, everyone likes the underdog story. So,
I've always said that during March Madness, everybody loves the first round upsets. But then everybody loves a heavyweight Final Four. You can't have both things.
No, you can't. Not if you want the true Cinderella story, absolutely. But, yeah, they're running into a perennial buzzsaw in Young America. Those guys hosted the state tournament in 2017. I was drafted by Fort Ripley with that. I believe that was the last year Jack Haggerty was on the team, and he threw an absolute gem. I believe it almost went 10 or 11 innings.
Yeah, 1-0
against Blue Earth. And that was a really wet year. We were basically playing that opening round game in a pond in center field, but
Blue Earth to the name of teams that we don't see this year in this year's.
They were perennially in there, and I mean, I believe that year they had that that 40-year-old pitcher that just shoved against Fort Ripley. I can't remember his name, but
was it Lee? Somebody's gonna chime in on Twitter here and remind.
They'll get
Lee Hodges.
It was Lee Hodges.
Yeah.
40 years old, and just talk about, you know, different levels of 40-year-old kind of a. I don't want to say a thumber, but, you know, a guy that can put it where he wants to.
Knows how to pitch.
Doesn't overly throw hard going against Jack Haggerty, a guy that can pretty much just blow it right by you.
Yeah.
So that was a really, really cool game to watch and be a part of.
You know, you look through the state tournament record book and you look at some numbers, and in 2012, you remember the name Kane Malo for Blue Earth?
It's not ringing an exact bell.
I think he was a third baseman for them. For whatever reason, I was working kind of co-broadcast partner with, I think it was Chasm in Albany. I want to say I worked with Randy Rothstein. And we broadcast a game from Faber, and I don't remember who they were playing, but Kane Malo hit 4 home runs in that game.
Wow.
3 home runs. He tied the record of 3 home runs. But it was just like, holy cow.
Yeah, only one I've ever remember hitting 3 home runs was, that would be Nisswa Jeremiah Pipcorn in 2014, Jordan Bell playing. He was 1 home run away from the cycle. I believe he had a 2-run, a solo shot, and a grand slam. He just needed that 3-run home run, and he had a chance at it.
Well, the guy for the Rockies hit 3 against Buckman last year. I mean, I looked at that, and of the list of 9 or 10 guys that have hit 3, I think I had broadcast 5 of them.
Wow. That's
for some weird reason. That's why the Malo name on that list was like, oh, yeah, I did that game too.
Nothing wrong with catching
history.
Yeah, nothing wrong with catching some games with, some firepower in it when you get to see the long ball.
And Ortonville is waiting in the wings for the winner of that St. Clair game against Young America.
Don't know a ton about them, but, obviously they're a solid ball club to get that by. So, again, it's just good baseball this time of year.
Another opportunity for maybe our listeners to remind me was the 40-some-year-old, was he from Ortonville in Delano that threw the no-hitter?
Ooh, yeah.
I want to say it was an Ortonville guy. It was somewhere, I believe, he was drafted. He was a draftee from the western part of the state.
And something's even ringing a bell about in the last 4 years of a perfect game.
Yeah.
I think a perfect game was thrown in the last 3-4 years, too.
Well, Craig Ehrlichman called that game. I think it was down in Hutch, I think.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
It was Hutch threw the perfect game. Enough history. Let's talk about the future here. Let's continue on with your own team, St. Stephen, opening up against the Princeton Panthers. And that's a 1:30 game in Chaska. And you will get the Watkins Clippers. No strangers if you're able to face Watkins.
Well, we got to get through Princeton first,
but absolutely.
I love your enthusiasm. We're going to have that same approach. We're going to go down and expect to win, but it's going to be a tough Princeton team. You know, they're going to have a couple of pitchers, a couple of good arms. They've definitely got a good 1-4, 1-5 lineup, and they're going to come play some ball. They're a scrappy team. I like our chances, though. like I said, we're going to go down expecting to win. This team this year has shown me the ability to stay in the game until the game is over. There's been years and years past where sometimes St. Stephen gets a little down and then they just can't get over that hump and they kind of just lay down. I have not seen that at all this year from our team. We are solid hitting-wise. You know, you can really go 1-6, 1-7. We're going to be really tough.
And tell us about Matt Meyer. Tell the folks about Matt Meyer.
I mean, if you want to talk about a guy that has just put the team pretty much on his back, I mean, we have definitely some guys that, you know, complement him very well. But for a guy to play 20-some games and have, you know, 13 home runs and 50 RBIs is just, you know, I will put it as one of the best, from what I've ever seen, he's the best hitter I've ever played with on the St. Stephen Steves. And I can go even further to say he's probably one of the best Victory League hitters I've seen.
And we talked earlier about the imposing size of Bemidji. Matt would fit right in that team photo. Big guy.
Matt's definitely got some power to him. He's kind of like a Swiss Army knight where he goes where we need him. You know, and when the game's starting to get more and more important, him behind the dish for us, being that that field general out there, has been huge for us.
St. Cloud State, right?
Correct. I believe he's top 10, or he's at least in the top 10 of most hits in St. Cloud State history. And then we follow our leadoff hitter, you know, was a couple year St. Cloud State guy too, in Bo Schmitz. He actually first came from Bemidji State. He played with Joey Hanowski and a couple of those Sobieski boys up there, and he started as a true freshman behind the dish for Bemidji State. So you know, our one two three is getting Jake Shalanka back. Great year from St. Scholastica this year. Saw a ton of growth out of Jake from last year to this year. Got so much bigger. Bat speed is so much faster. Confidence is there. It was strong last year, but it's even stronger now. Him getting picked up by the Duluth Huskies right during our region run hurt. But,
I think it's a tip of the cap to you guys that you were able to overcome such a big loss. Not many teams lose arguably one of their top 2-3 players and still make state.
It was one of those things that I told Jake. I said, don't miss out on this opportunity. It's you've got your whole life to play amateur baseball with us guys. But in the back of your mind, you're just like, you almost start thinking the what could have been. But you really need to shut that in the back of your mind and go, hey, you know, next man up. We got to do what we got to do here. We got a job to do. Let's go try to get to the state tournament. And the excitement he had when he found out that we made it there, and the possibility of him coming back, which did get confirmed. We will have Jake Shalanka back. So, you know, that really gets our hitting lineup right where we need it to
just
be.
The depth, one guy makes such a big difference on how you can roll down the lineup.
And he plays it so well. He's got a great glove. He's so fast on the bases. I mean, he's got, I think, 18 to 20 stolen bases for us this year. Smart kid, plays a great baseball game. And I'm just looking forward to, us going down there, living in the moment, enjoying the moment, expecting to win. And if we can get past through Princeton, we'll run into the Watkins Clippers. Yep. And they're nothing to sneeze at. I've seen them play a couple times this year. They've been a perennial Omen Invite member of the tournament that we host. Matt Geislinger is going to be on the mound. He's going to be tough. They added Justin Thompson, longtime Cold Spring Springer, over to that staff to give them a good, solid number two. And then we can even talk a little bit more about Watkins with a longtime Region 8 guy in Lincoln Haugen.
Lincoln started his career in the Victory League in Region 8. And now he, I think, got married. That was kind of the impetus for him making the move.
Yeah, and with Lincoln Haugen, I mean, I believe he started as a longtime Avon Laker, and then I remember playing a couple of years against him when he was out in Freeport.
Kept moving west.
Yeah, with the Hess boys, and then with the Cheetah boys, and then Eric Evishloggy, and Troy Freeler, and all those boys, and then ended up, and it seems like he settled in Watkins a little bit, because I think he's been there for the past 5 or 6 years, and then just another, go ahead.
The left-hander Geislinger, I mean, as good as there is.
If I'm just going to have a little personal vendetta here in the tournament about 4 or 5 years ago, had a bat against him, lefty versus lefty, my favorite bat, and he snapped it off. Yeah. So
he went into a little fire pit.
Yeah, so if we can get past Princeton, I'm going to have a little vendetta against Geislinger and expect him to be on the mound. So just one little quick little adder there. Sartell Stone Pony has got a drafty that got drafted by the Watkins Clippers.
Okay.
And funny story, if you remember longtime St. Stephen Steve's, Trent Phelps and then Travis Phelps.
Travis Phelps.
So Travis Phelps is a longtime manager of the St. Stephen Steve's, and Trent Phelps was his younger brother and played many of years with them. But Trent Phelps' son, Tyler Phelps.
Really?
From Sartell. He's a sophomore going to be a junior this year. Got drafted by the Watkins Clippers. So congratulations to Tyler Phelps. And
second generation, huh?
Yeah, hopefully someday he might want to fill in his family's footsteps and come on over to St. Stephen. But young kid, 16-year-old, got a lot of promise. He's throwing mid-80s to 87 miles an hour already as a 16-year-old. So,
kind of what I know about Princeton is I know they were a really strong program, and I think they kind of went away for a while, if not shuttered the doors for maybe a year or two, and kind of restarted. It might be a second evolution of this Princeton Panther franchise. I think that's the case. Maybe someone would correct me, but I'm wrong. But one of the really stars back in the early 2000s, late 90s, they had a guy named Brian Dorr, who is now in our Umpires Association. I see Brian on the weekend sometimes. He'll have an assignment, and he'll be at a Victory League ball game. And Brian still is in the record. He drove in 8 runs in a state tournament game 1 year. That's tied for second all-time for RBIs in one game. But he was a longtime Princeton Panther guy, Brian Dorr. So that's my local connection to Princeton. And my brother lives in Princeton, so I'm sure. Speaking of the Steve, do you expect to see a Dusty Upgren, the Chumperlins, the Dan Shea, Dan Wainwright, Jake Peters, any of those guys at the ballpark?
Well, funny you brought that up, because I was talking to a couple of them today, and with those guys, they want to be down there.
Yep.
It's just some of them got 3-4 kids, and there's camping every weekend, this and that. I have talked to Aaron Chumperlin, one of the Chumperlin brothers. He is really trying to get down there. I know that they're already reliving memories in a group text group this morning. And there was 11 of them, and they were just popping off their memories from the state tournament. They made a good run in 07 and 08. But I hope to see some familiar faces down there. I expect to see some familiar faces down there. But I wish they could all be down there just to share. The St. Stephen Steves, we've got a really good kind of group and core together of just even retired players. It's a very good group of guys. So
if folks maybe aren't as familiar geographically where St. Stephen is, you're just outside the St. Cloud metro area, just kind of to the north-northwest.
Yep, right outside of St. Cloud area. We're paired with Sartell, so Sartell St. Stephen School District. So just a suburb right
outside St. Cloud. And that's your basic draw of talent is from the Sartell School.
What's really cool to see is in the state tournament this year, we've got two really Sartell teams. You got the Perennial and the Sartell Muskies, and then us being able to get there. I'd say our team is about 70-30 right now with Sartell guys to Sauk Rapids guys. With Sauk Rapids not having an amateur baseball team, about 2 years ago,
the Cyclones
ended up folding. So those guys had really nowhere to go. So they kind of all dispersed in different areas. And we've got Sauk Rapids has been really, really big for us in our success. We've got 3 really important players that are, 18 years old to 19 years old from the Sauk Rapids team, starting with our shortstop, Derek Durant, who has been very, very solid for us defensively. Great glove and a great arm. And then you also pair that with our 9-hitter, Andrew Wallach. Nicknamed Possum, shout out Possum. He's gonna be a pesky little guy down in that 9-hole. He kind of just beats the ball into the field of play, and that guy can fly. It's just really
good. Well, he made 3 like head first diving catches in 3 consecutive innings last weekend in the region tournament.
Oh, yeah.
There's Wallach again.
Yeah, he made some really great plays. And then just to top that all off, the guy that's pretty much got us there or has eaten a ton of innings for us is Landon Luntzer, our starting pitcher, 18-year-old, headed to the St. Cloud State Community St. Cloud Community Technical College next year to play some ball. And Wallach is heading to Gustavus, and then I'm trying to think. Durant is at St. John's. So
okay.
some really good talent there filling out our roster.
Well, I'm just happy for you guys. I just saw the excitement for your team last year when you'd qualified with that victory to go back for the first time in 13 years. So congratulations.
Thanks, Rick.
To the Steves. The last game in the opening round will be the Hanska Lakers and the Fergus Falls Hurricanes. Fergus is a team from kind of up that northwest part of the state that comes down and always brings a solid team. We've matched up in Region 8 with the Hurricanes a few times. And, of course, Hanska, matter of fact, ironically, those were two of Sobieski's wins in 2014, opening round in Hanska, and I want to say quarterfinals in extra innings with Fergus.
Yeah, and then I also remember the year before that in 13, Fergus Falls ran into that Sartell Muskie team that ended up winning the title. So, you know, they're always down at state. They come to play the game. They're always, you know, they're going to be there in that Sweet 16 kind of area. And just a funny little thing looking at the roster, another drafty, a Sauk Center Titan, Shane Traddles. Don't know if he remembers me, but I remember him. I used to wrestle when I was a little kid, and me and him used to have some really good battles going through youth wrestling. And he ended up having a really, really good high school wrestling career, so.
The Fergus Falls Hanska winner will go on and take on St. Martin Martins, and that's always a big draw with a great baseball community out of Stearns County.
Yeah, you know, running into the Martins, you're going to end up with that Leaser family, Kyle and Scott. You know, Kyle, you know, SCSU stud, shortstop, did a lot of things for them. If St. Martin's not making the state tournament, you know the Leasers are. So,
yeah.
And then just to top off with Hanska there, you know, they're another perennial team you always see down there from the Tomahawk East League. And I really like their jerseys. They have that black and teal.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's the Hanska Lakers, and that will be a Sunday 1:30 game against Fergus in Waconia. And that wraps up. And the winner of that one, as we said, gets St. Martin. So as we read through those 32 first-round games, 32 teams in the first-round games, the other team we talked about, teams that aren't, Hadley Buttermakers are not down this year.
Yep.
Are up this year, I guess, for Hadley. But
yep, that's one that you usually see down there all the time, and one of the cooler nicknamed teams that you always got there. It's always cool when you get down to the state tournament to see some of these guys' names and the creativity they use to come up with some of them. So.
Yeah, so it's really going to be a fun tournament. I really appreciate Nick Krippner of the St. Stephen Steves. He's been one of the older statesmen of this franchise here, and he'll help guide those young guys, hopefully, to a long run in the state tournament. Anything else you want to add, Nick, here before and for transparency's sake, if you're listening and you're hearing the wind, it's because we're sitting just outside the Trobeck Memorial Field here at St. Stephen because they got practice coming up here shortly, and Nick agreed to come out early here and join me for this podcast. So we're just sitting here in the grandstand doing this podcast.
Yeah, you got to get the boys ready. You know, we're going to have a good practice tonight. We're gonna try to clean some things up, and, you know, just me and Rick here sitting right at the Trobeck's Porta Bar, right?
Yep.
You know, pretty famous attraction for, you know, home games at St. Stephen. Whether you want, you know, a Busch Light or a shot of 151 rum, you'll be able to get it here. So, no, Rick, I really appreciate you letting me come on to the podcast today and talk ball. I could talk about ball with, you know, you or some of the other managers, you know, for hours and hours. But just to cap it off, I'll give you – I did fill out a bracket.
Okay.
But I won't give away too much. I'll just give you my final four.
Okay. Give me your final four, and then I'll give you mine.
Okay. So final four, I've got Sartell upsetting Sobieski. So I got Sartell in the final four facing Waconia. And then I've got Bemidji Blue Ox and Young America. Like you said, you'd love to see the Cinderella story go all the way through, but everyone wants a powerhouse final four. I believe that is going to be a very powerful final four. And, you know, I wish luck to all those teams, but, you know, I have to be a little bit biased from what I know and everything like that. But I came up with Sartell, Waconia, and Bemidji and Young America, and I've got Waconia winning it all. So
you do have Waconia winning it all. Ooh, okay. Well, how about my final four? We will start with St. Patrick. I think they're going to get back out of the bottom part of the bracket in the semifinal. I would have them facing New Ulm.
Yeah, two perennial guys. That's the tough thing about when you're doing brackets is that it can go so many different ways.
And I'm gonna go against the hometown crowd. I saw Sobieski defeat Hutchinson in Hutchinson in the state tournament there when Hutchinson was the host and playing at home, and I think it was the quarterfinals a couple of years ago. So I'm going to go with Foley over Waconia in Waconia, and Foley's going to continue that run to the semis against Sartell. I got Sartell there as well.
Wow. If Foley does that, that's going to be very, very impressive, and I'll be rooting for him.
And I've got Sartell overall.
All right. Yeah. No. We'll see what happens there. You know, Sartell been very tough. I believe 30-1 record. They're a bunch of veteran guys that know how to get it done. If I am not playing, and Sobieski and Sartell meet again because they always seem to, It's always a great game to go see. They've got some classics. In 2013, it was
Jendro Dominski in the rain, and the game started at about 10 o'clock.
It was jet black outside. Yep. All you could see was the lights and the players. It was so dark, so calm after that storm came through, and just what a matchup. It's one of the top five that I've ever watched as a fan.
You know, we talk about Sobieski, the state championship in 14. They got upset the next year by Spring Hill at Cold Spring, 1-0 in the first round. But then they went on to finish runners-up a couple of times in 16 to Raymond, and then in 18 against Plato.
Correct.
But two of those other years, they lost to the eventual champions. Sartell and Maple Lake both stopped Sobieski's run. So who knows how much bigger of a mantle they would have needed possibly, but obviously Sobieski's up there with the class, and we wish good luck to all the teams here. It's going to be a heck of a fun three weekends coming up here, and I'm sure the communities of Waconia, Chaska, and Hamburg are very excited. Nick, thank you very much for joining me here, and maybe we'll do it again between the first weekend and the second weekend, and hopefully you're sitting here ready for another practice.
Yeah, that's going to be the goal. Like I said, the boys are going to go down there. We're going to expect to win. We're going to play solid baseball, and we're going to try to get to that that round of 32. So, Rick, again, I appreciate it too. I have no problem doing this. I think it's a lot of fun being able to, you know, talk about a really cool tradition here in Minnesota. So,
yep, you bet. Well, Nick Krippner of the St. Stephen Steves has been my guest on Rick and Nick Talk, the state tournament brackets here. And hopefully we'll do it again next week, getting ready for the second weekend down in Waconia, Chaska, and Hamburg. Good luck to all the teams. Again, opening round games actually start on Friday night and continue through the rest of the weekend. So we'll see you at the ballpark at some point here down for 2021 at the state tournament. This is Rick Grammond from You Are There Sports on Rick and Nick Talking State Brackets.